Thank you for the introduction and thank you for the invitation. It's nice to be here and be part of so many interesting discussions. I'll be talking about Farsad, the youngest of the FRBR family, and since we are running short on time, I will not go into a detailed discussion. This is the list of all the models within the family. The working group was established in 2005, so much later than Farsad, which was established right after FRBR was published. And Farsad was really established after the Farsad working group decided they don't want to focus on subjects, so there was a need to for another working group to do that part. The terms of reference are, of course, to build a conceptual model of aboutness, but really coming from FRBR Group 3, into potential for international sharing of subject authority data, so quite ambitious. Subject access is difficult. There are so many problems related to that. Philosophers are arguing whether it's possible to objectively determine the topics of each work. And some say, yes, it's possible, and others say, no, it's not possible at all. What catalogers are focusing on is the second question: in what context will the users need this particular work in the future? And in assigning subject headings, we are trying, or catalogers are trying, to guess this context. Well, the granularity of topics. How detailed should the topics be? How specific should they be? Should we talk in these broad categories, or should we focus on small details which might be interesting for a potential user? Once we decide the subject of the relation we chose be useful for that particular user or not. And we all know we have so many different knowledge organization systems with their own characteristics and advantages and disadvantages. Research proves over and over again that, well, even in general, library catalogs are difficult to use. And subject searching is even more difficult for users, and they complain about that. They have problems. People have problems with library catalogs to the degree that more and more reports show they actually actively avoid using library catalogs, even if they want to borrow a book. I mean, not only for exploration, but even if they know exactly that they will end by borrowing a book, they would rather go to Amazon, find the book there, and copy the ISBN, and then use the ISBN number in the catalog to get the core number. So these are all things or tasks. That's exactly the way FRBR started with. So what is it that people want to achieve using the data in our catalogs? And you see the user tasks by models. And you also see that in Farsad we actually followed find, identify, and select in exactly the same sense as Ferber defines them. So we want to find an instance of an entity based on either attributes or relationships, then to identify within the instances found the one we are actually looking for, and then selecting the one that is the most appropriate to particular needs. Farsad doesn't have obtain, because obtain in FRBR relates to obtaining the resource, obtaining the book or whatever resource we are looking for. But we did add something we thought was important, and it is explore. The explore function, graphic universe, should be supported. And I have to say that the task did not come from our own analysis, but also from a quite broad user study performed within library domain and beyond with people involved in knowledge organization system developments, and the results actually support all these tasks as being essential in this area. Now, this is what FRBR says about subjects, and actually it somewhat implies the groups, because this and this figure is taken from FRBR. So works has a subject, things in group one, group two. I have to emphasize that we added family, the Frat family, into the picture, and the group three, which are, and this is kind of an awkward definition. It's not a very elegant definition in itself. Group three entities have been discussed in subsequent years after the publication of FRBR, and there has been quite a lot of criticism that time is missing. Event is kind of serving as this temporal entity. But yes, quite a lot have observed that this is not quite the right way of doing it. Events, even intuitively, people don't see time spans as events. I mean, the Middle Ages is not just an event, or 19th century is not, we don't quite see it as an event, do we? Although that's how FRBR is modeling it. There were also comments that time and place, which usually are modeled symmetrically, are not in this case. So when the group started the work, there were lots of discussions. It's not an easy thing to discuss and model aboutness. Quite a lot of scenarios were discussed and analyzed and compared and discarded and taken up again. And so it was just staying with FRBR group three entities, possibly at time, but I'll mention the reasons why we rejected this a little later. Ranganathan's facets as possible entity types, which of course is quite well known within the library community, but may not be so helpful for users. Users may not really relate to personality, matter, and energy. Index, another framework that we discussed. Some pragmatic lists of entity types have been proposed. So all of these we analyze large scale research, but a pilot test when we took a number of existing subject headings and asked people to categorize them into, and to avoid terminology, we literally said concrete stuff, abstract stuff, event, time, and place. Not surprisingly, people had problems with that. And it's funny because in a way, we all distinguish between abstract and concrete things. But in the context of these subject headings, the distinction was actually blurred. Why? Some people actually commented on it when tables was used as a subject heading. Of course, we all know that tables are objects. But when used as a subject heading, does it refer to all physical tables in the world, the objects, or does it refer to the abstraction, the concept of a table? And people know this didn't, at the moment it was not a class, they didn't know how to put it into object or concept or something else. So surprisingly, many terms were put into other category, which should have been empty if that categorization is right and useful. Which, for us, meant that this categorization, this particular categorization proposed by FRBR, is not really generally applicable or useful. And it also shows that there is no generally applicable categorization we can use in every particular case. This is just an image of a whiteboard showing heated discussions, well, in Kent and Dublin, and it's quite interesting to go, it's many years ago already, but going back and remembering who wrote what and what was discussed in this particular case. So to go on a higher level of abstraction and declare thema as everything that can be a subject of a work, which means that it includes all FRBR entities, or if I put that image on the FRBR, what the FRSAT model says is work has a subject, anything, and we call it thema, and an important addition, this thema has appellation nomen. So basically the model is work has a subject, thema has appellation nomen to go through. Thema, anything that can be subject of work, and nomen, very general, any appellation, so any alphanumeric, sound, visual, or whatever symbol or combination of symbols by which a thema is known, referred to, or addressed as. So it includes all kinds of visual representation. So any work may have one or more subjects. Actually, to be exact, there are some works which have no subject, or we don't usually think of them having a subject. For example, most of music, we would say, although you can also interpret some music being about something, but it's not the way we usually give access to music. And again, each particular thema can be subject of many works. Also, the appellation relationship in general is many-to-many. A thing may have many appellations, and an appellation, a particular string of characters, for example, can represent in natural language many themas. In controlled vocabularies, though, of course, we avoid that, and it has to be one to many themas. This is an example for chemistry which illustrates the nomens. So it's a part of an authority record, we could say, about a chemical compound, which shows different generic name and different chemical names and formulas, which are all nomens. And of course, also the structure, which is again a nomen according to our definition. Of course, this is very general, and in a particular implementation, we want some categorization of thema, so types of thema, which would depend on the implementation, on the domain, on the subject domain, on the language, on the knowledge organization system used. And maybe in some implementations, the original FRBR types would be useful. So object, concept, event, place, and maybe time. But as shown in our pilot study, this is medicine. We would type the themas into medical conditions, symptom, treatment, substance, and so on. And of course, the attributes of the thema would depend on the particular implementation-specific type. A medical condition would have different attributes from a substance, for example, and so on. Nomen attributes, there's just a list here, actually describe the appellation itself, the label not the thing, not the thema, but the label itself. So we have the scheme it comes from, the reference source where it was found, representation, language, script, and so on, form, type of validity, and that kind of things. And there are types of nomen as well. We need to indicate that a particular nomen is an identifier, which means that it's present in FRAAT. It's the names that are constructed in authority control work. And then, in addition, there may be other implementation-specific types. The relationships, of course, there are thema relationships, and the general ones include all of hierarchical, partitive, generic, instance, polyhierarchical as a specific kind, and any of the associative. More relationships can be introduced in the implementation. So probably an implementation what would include the relationship between symptom as being a side effect of certain medication. Nomen relationships, partitive, yes, because some nomens can actually be decomposed into smaller parts, which are nomens as well. And there's an example of subject heading strings, which are composed of nomen. So two nomens are equivalent if they refer, if they are appellations of the same thema. And again, if needed, we may specify equivalence for what kind of equivalence it is, that it is maybe a temporal, that between an older and a newer name, between the usual and the variant, a derivation, and so on. And this is an example for Art and Architecture Thesaurus for an authority record which includes information about thema and about nomens. And you can see here, it's the record for St. Petersburg as a place, and there are some different nomens, but also the position, the hierarchical positioning of the thema geographically. And then some attributes of thema, which are, of course, type-specific, because or topics or subjects or that kind of terms, from what we call them. It's very general, very abstract, not limited to any domain or implementation, and that's how it provides some potential for interoperability within the library field and beyond. And conclude with, I'll just bring out some of the issues that were identified in the review process, and I'll focus on these four. Issue number one, quite a lot of discussions were going on, was the terminology used. Why did we choose Latin? And we heard that it's old-fashioned, or it's confusing, or it's pretentious. And that it shouldn't be used. Now, there are problems with the terminology, and I think I'm talking here about English, there are the same problems in most languages. Overlapping and different meanings of subjects disagreed on whether subject is broader than topic or vice versa, which really shows that any of these would be problematic and would. Well, they're just labels, as we have heard many times, but people don't read definitions. They infer the meaning from the label, and so all of this would be very confusing. Name, on the other hand, is often understood as proper name, and in addition, FRAAT defines name in a much narrower way as only the text form of a name. So the decision was to make it language and culture neutral by using Latin as a dead language, and It doesn't have to be translated into other languages, and it, in fact, that proved to be true when our presentations for IFLA were translated in all IFLA official languages. Translators never had problems with using nomen and thema. Next issue, that it's two explicit conceptual models. These are the first. So people are not really used to seeing this abstractness. And modeling is quite difficult. It is something not everybody is keen on. So we are bringing an totally abstract model into a world where detailed rules are the norm. And of course, it's quite understandable that not everybody is happy, but we think it's important to have these conceptual models. That is not, well, the comment was it's not specific to libraries, and that it doesn't reflect the current cataloging practice. Now, this, I think, is very important. It's very important to say here that we are not, FRBR, the whole family, is not modeling the cataloging process. We are modeling the bibliographic universe from the standpoint of a user, of somebody who needs to find information that is embedded in the resources we place. We admit that if somebody needs them, that could be done. And also that we should explicitly model something like Library of Congress subject headings. And the group really maintains the position that it's up to application profiles to develop such specific implementations. And we really need this interoperability beyond the library domain. Quite a lot of vocabulary development is happening outside the library domain. We shouldn't limit ourselves to that. And issue number four is the issue of the complexity. That complexity is not modeled. I think there'll be more of that in the next presentation. What does complexity refer to? It's quite an important notion, and I think we all have this intuitive understanding that something we label as cats is simpler than a thema we label in English as winter fishing in the Cuyahoga River. And this is an example that comes from the, how do we say, why is it more complex? And it seems that in most cases we actually relate the complexity to the complexity of the nomen. If we need more words to describe it, then it's more complex than if we just need one word to describe it. Which really means that it is that it's really up to a particular language or domain or knowledge organization system whether something is complex or not. The hepatitis example, well, by most hepatitis would be seen as a simple thema, but if we view it as an inflammation of the liver, then probably it's not. It's a more complex, yet it is the same. There was an example mentioned yesterday about the Inuit having 50 words for snow. Recently, I actually read that it's a misinterpretation, that it's wrong, that it's something we, in our languages, need to describe in a phrase, in a more complex way. So this complexity issue is kind of a problem. And in addition, I don't think we can ever claim that there is a general atomic level of a thema that cannot go deeper down, cannot be subdivided. While in a particular knowledge organization system, yes, we know exactly what the bottom is and it's where we stop. So the point is that, yes, it is an important notion, but it is up to the application profiles to develop the rules of combining things to manage complexity, and a faceted classification system would manage complexity in a different way as a subject heading system, for example. And this is the last slide. The current status document has been submitted to IFLA. The next step ahead of us is the harmonization, and Gordon has already described that, and I sincerely hope that at that time we'll also come up with a better name for all these models, because we've been struggling with this FR and so on. Thank you. That's the end of my presentation.